Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. I'm excited. Our guest today joining us on the phone is Jake Fox. You know him from Major League Baseball, Chicago Cubs, Oakland Athletics, Baltimore Orioles, but also he's an entrepreneur. So, Jake, thanks for joining us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. I'm excited. Getting all this started has been great. It's been very difficult, as most people know, but you keep pushing through and you keep believing and you believe in what you're doing, and hopefully things will work out.
Hey, you get asked a lot of questions over your time about sports, but I don't want to do that. But I want to ask you a little bit, though. Give us some highlights about your background, just some highlights from a childhood and then to today, and just take a minute or two with that, and then we're going to go in and talk about what you're up to now.
Okay, sounds great. I grew up in small town Indiana. We raised cattle. My father was a high school teacher and coach, and my mom was kind of in sales, bounced around from sales job to sales job. So I'm kind of grew up just like everybody else, you know, in a small town. I went to a little private Catholic school. There were 11 kids in my seventh grade class, believe it or not. So it shows you how small of a town it was.
Yes.
And went to high school in Indianapolis, at Cathedral High School. My mom and dad felt like it was the best place for me to get the best education I could get. From there, I happened to get a scholarship to go to the University of Michigan to go to play baseball. And I studied communications there. I majored in communications there, and then got drafted in the third round by the Chicago Cubs. And, you know, honestly, it was just one of those things where I never felt like I chose baseball. I felt like baseball always chose me. Growing up in small town Indiana, you know, I never dreamed I'd be able to play on that kind of stage. And it just seemed like every step of the way, a door opened up, another door opened up. And even when I chose to go to the University of Michigan, I had some scholarships to play other places, but I chose University of Michigan because I felt like it was the best education I could get. And going there, I used my scholarship to get an education, and then another door opened up to go play professional baseball. And even then, I didn't know how long it was going to last playing professionally, because every day, and I tell people this all the time, I don't match physically every day I step on that field, because here I am, a short, fat, white guy. I couldn't run. I couldn't throw. I didn't really have a position. But yet it just, doors kept opening up, and every time the door would open up, I'd walk through it. And, you know, after a 15-year-long career, I'm still in the game of baseball coaching. I'm being the hitting coach in the San Francisco Giants organization. So I guess that kind of gives you a short synopsis, short little background on me. But I tell people all the time, I don't feel like I chose baseball. And I talk to a lot of these youth programs all the time about, you know, the parents and the kids, they try to force it to happen. But I believe that things happen for a reason. And I think you get put in positions for a reason. And I just felt like the game chose me along the way.
I love that perspective. Thanks for sharing. You've had such success though. And each time, you know, you are very humble about it. And I know you've got a healthy confidence, but you've got a great perspective. What do you attribute, other than your talent, obviously, but what do you attribute to having that kind of longevity in such a competitive sport?
That's an open-ended question. I love it. And I guess the best thing I can tell you is, it's one of the messages we're trying to give with the Fox Code is you just enjoy the journey and you control the controllables. For me, I tell my players and I tell the kids I work with in the off season, you show up every day and you work hard and you have fun. Those are the only two things you can control, especially in baseball where there's so much failure. I mean, you think about putting in perspective as a hitter in baseball, if I fail 70% of the time, I'm considered successful. In what other business, what other job can you fail 70% of the time and be considered successful? If you failed 70% of the time at your job, you probably wouldn't have a job.
Wow.
And so you think about, so you think about putting that in perspective where as a hitter, I show up and I fail 70% of the time. I'm considered good. As a matter of fact, you're considered Hall of Fame worthy because you're hitting 300 if you fail 70% of the time. So I think whenever you show up and you play a game like baseball, you have to keep it in perspective. Like, you know what, I might not be good today. But then there's those times that you will be good. And if you focus on the times that, man, that was a lot of fun. When I went out and played today, we won that game and I got a big hit. That was a lot of fun. And you keep those memories in your head, because those are the times where you really enjoy the game. You really enjoy the sport. And I think if you just show up every day and you play hard and you just go out and play the game because you love to play the game, and then you have fun doing it, you enjoy that journey, I think then at the end of the day, wherever you end up, you're still going to have a perspective of baseball that is a good perspective, an enjoyable perspective. And I think that's the message that I'm trying to send, is just enjoy the journey, enjoy the ride, because you never know how long it's going to last. I mean, guys suffer injuries, guys get released, guys find their way out of the game for many other reasons. And if you just enjoy the time you're in, you be where your feet are, I think that's at the end of the day why so many people love baseball, because it's a game that you have those magical moments where everything falls into place, because there is so much failure. And I think that's why a lot of people don't like watching it, because it's slow. There's so much failure involved that they're not ready to wait for that one magical moment where everything comes together.
I never thought of it from that perspective. That's a great point. We want to see things and we want to hear all the success stories, but there's all in between that makes it. And someone reminded me yesterday that the fruit is created in the valleys. And that's just part of it. We like the mountaintops, but the fruit is in the valleys. So before we jump, I want to talk about the Fox Code in just a minute. But before that, you've given me these great perspectives and be where your feet are. I love that. It's hard for a lot of ambitious people, myself included, to live in the moment, because we're always creating the next thing. It's one of the biggest challenges I see for high performers, quote unquote, right? But give me a small moment, because it's not all just been handed to you. I know you've been very fortunate. You've worked your butt off. Show up, work hard, be where your feet are. But in a small moment, what is something you do when things are not going your way, or when you don't get a contract? Or give me a small mindset, because I believe that the big things come out of those small moments. And those are the things that we're looking for a lot of times, is how did they get through that valley to get back to where they are now? Give me a small moment or a lesson.
Derek, I don't know if it's small, but for me, I've always thrived or lived when people told me I couldn't accomplish something, when people told me I couldn't do something. Mm. And I think there's part of me that always believed I was put on this earth to prove people wrong. In those times where, there was many times in my career where somebody looked at me and said, look, you're not good enough. You're not good enough to play at that level. You're not good enough to get a college scholarship. You're not good enough to play professionally. You're not good enough to make it to the major leagues. And I think when people are faced with that kind of adversity, they do one of two things. Either they accept it and they tuck their tail between their legs and, okay, I'm going to do something else. Or they say, you know what? Okay, that may be your perspective, but you know what? I'm going to try, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to prove to you that I am good enough to do what you're telling me I'm not good enough to do. And I think for me, I've always kind of played with that chip on my shoulder. And I think that's kind of what got me through those times where things weren't going great, because I think you keep your eye they always say keep your eye on the prize. And I think you keep your eye on what you're trying to accomplish, what you focus on, what you're trying to do. And I think you take those lumps along the way. And I always say, if you want to see a rainbow, you got to stand a little rain. Yeah. And I think getting through those tough times, because we all go through them. And I keep my perspective on saying, you know what, I can do this. And I think it just fuels my fire when somebody says, okay, you're not good enough, or you hit a speed bump, or you hit a roadblock. And I think that fuels me more than it deters me from what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, that's great advice. I was speaking a little while back and talking about after a decade with our company doing well, and I've had some failed companies, but this one was doing well. And I remember talking about failure, and I had to stop in the middle of speaking and said, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like failing right now. So I got to be honest, it's not fun. But and then I had a couple dips I had to go through it. But it is such a reward and so much more satisfying when the journey has some bumps in it, when you're going towards that prize like you talk about.
Right. But at the same time, if it was easy, if the road was easy, I don't think it would mean as much, just like you touched on. And I think the fact that you go through all those speed bumps, I think that makes it that much sweeter when you finally accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. You know, when my first day I stepped on a Major League Baseball field, it was so overwhelming emotionally that you think back to all the time that all the sacrifices you went through, all the mud you had to wade through. And I think at the end of the day, that first experience out there, my first at bat in the major leagues, I grounded into a 4-6-3 double play, and I should have been miserable, but I was so excited coming back. I'm like, man, I just had my first AB. This is great. You know, that I can now say I'm a Major League Baseball player because I got through my first AB, my first playing experience, and I come back, and as a matter of fact, it was Lou Piniella because I had to come back and act like I was angry. You know, I grounded into a double play. He put me in a pinch hit, right? And Lou Piniella goes, congratulations, son. I look at him. I'm like, for what? I just grounded into a 4-6-3. He goes, yeah, but they'll never be able to take that away from you. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I had to kind of go up into the little tunnel just to kind of get my emotions back under control because he was right. That was a moment in time that couldn't be taken away from me. Even though in that moment I didn't do very well, I didn't do what I was supposed to do and get a hit and bring in some runs, but at the same time it was a milestone for me. It was a moment for me that just kind of was overwhelming. So it was one of those times where even if you go after it, even if you go try and accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, you may not succeed. You know, and you know, I talk to Lexi all the time about this, about our Fox Code, about what we're trying to do. And you know, I don't know anything about the lifestyle brands. I don't know. All I know is we're trying to sell an idea, a feeling, an emotion of going after what you want to tackle in life, of being aggressive and being able to accept that it may fail. It may not work out. You know, and it's a running joke in my family, being from small town Indiana, is like, what do you know about style? What do you know about lifestyle? I'm like, you know, honestly, that's not the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm trying to encourage people. I'm trying to teach people and help people understand that they can accomplish things far greater than what they think they can if they just try. Because how do you know what you can accomplish unless you go after it and try and walk through that door? Because at the end of the day, you may fail, but there might be another door that opens in that failure.
I love it. So let's transition even more formally into this. Let's talk about your new business, the Fox Code. Tell us more about it. I know with Alexi Posner, and tell me more about the concept.
Oh, so it dates back to my last full year playing was in 2016. And I was in Reading, Pennsylvania, playing for the Reading Fighting Phils. It's a great experience. We had a great team. We win a lot of games. But here's the put it in perspective. I was 34 years old playing in Double A with 22, 23, and 24-year-olds. Okay? Mm-hmm. So here I am playing with these young kids. I'm 10 years older than them. Mm-hmm. And obviously in a far different place in life. I was married with two kids, and I'm putting back in this locker room with young kids that are out partying, chasing girls, you know, having just in a whole different realm of life where they're doing social media and videos, and it was in a different place, right?
Sure.
And so entering this locker room, I'm like, what do I have to talk to these kids about? And me, and I think you kind of picked this up, I'm a really outgoing type person. I can talk to just about anybody. I love to have a good time. I can joke around with anybody. And those who know me best will tell you that whenever I show up, I'm just there. I'm in the moment. I'm having fun. I don't go anywhere and not have a good time. I always have a smile on my face. I'm always enjoying the moment. And being in that clubhouse again I had to kind of adapt a little bit to them. And so me being me, I could be a little bit of a smart ass sometimes, you know? So if you take that with having fun and putting that in a teammate to almost being a mentor. And I think why the Phillies hired me in that moment is because they needed somebody in that clubhouse to teach some of those young kids how to go about their business, being a professional, but yet at the same time, being a good clubhouse presence also. And so being in that moment, I came up with some great, just one line, just that were applicable to so many parts of life. And so we'd be in a clubhouse to joke around, and I'd say a one liner like, oh, guy would be talking about doing his social media or dealing with his girlfriend or meeting this girl out of the bar. I don't know. And I'd be like, well, that ain't it, you know, and just something, just throwing it in there. And all of a sudden, here we are. We're hanging outside. Maybe we go to have a drink after a game on a day off or something like that. And I drop it at the bar, and then everybody starts dying laughing. And, you know, Lexi caught wind of some of these just one-liners that I used. She's like, Fox, you need to. But it never really materialized. It really moved forward. And we had come up with some concepts, come up with some designs, come up with some stories to tell about the one-liners, about how to do it, but never really came together. And then as I transitioned, because I kind of hit a rough patch with my family, my father-in-law passed away of cancer, kind of took me out of the game for a brief period of time. And then once the dust had finally all settled with that, Giants brought me back in, and they wanted me to come be a part of the organization. They wanted me to come be a hitting coach. And you never know. Unless you try something, how do you ever really know that's something you like or don't like?
Right.
You know, most players don't get the opportunity. Most players don't have this door open to them. And I kind of get put right back in that situation where here I am, 37 years old, and I'm coaching 2-year-olds, you know, so that situation kind of like I was at in 2016. And I saw Lexi earlier this summer where she was out around spring training. She obviously, with the business she runs, it just kind of almost felt like it was meant to be because things went so smoothly getting it started. And so here we are in August, and I think we're doing it great where we're starting small and just doing what we're able to do without pretending ourselves. And we're trying to get a message out to people that they can really buy into and be a part of. And, you know, it's through venues like you where we can get our message out there, where we can say, you know what, hey, we know that life is not going to be easy. We know that there's going to be roadblocks out there, but just keep pushing, keep driving, keep living the journey, keep in the journey, even though there will be failure, even though there will be some things in your way, just push and strive for what you want, because there's nobody, usually the only person standing in your way is you. And one of the messages we have in our hat, and I don't know if you've seen our hat, but it's got a logo on it. It's got a greater than sign, and then it says before. Because it was just a simple way to say, strive to be better than you were yesterday. Strive to be better than you were the day before or the time before, whatever it is you're trying to do. And as long as you're improving every day, and I tell my kids, as long as you get better each day, who knows where you're going to end up? Because if you continue to get better each day, you know, a year from now, a season from now, 2 seasons from now, think about how much better of a player you're going to be. So translate that to other walks of life. If you continue to strive each day to do something a little bit better than you did yesterday, something a little bit better than you did the time before, sooner or later, everything's going to come together and you're going to be that much better.
Your website, thefox-code.com. You've got a button here, want more foxisms. That's awesome for your email sign up. We've got just another minute or two left. I want to hear about, you talked about transitioning out of sports, and I get to talk to several people who do in different transitions of life. What's a transition like, or what would you say to someone who's still playing? Cause you're still coaching. What do you say to them? Like was there anything surprising or unexpected that came out of that as you were making the transition?
Well, I believe, and I'm going to just completely level with you. I believe that every baseball player, especially professionally, when they're done playing, go through some form of depression because it's players that it's something you've worked for your entire life. I mean, you think about little kids right now playing my son's playing machine pitch right now, and he's six. You know, you think about kids playing since they're 6 years old, and then I don't even know when most kids find their way out, when most guys find their way out of the game, but when I finally finished playing, I was 34, 35 years old. So think about that from the time I was 6 years old or 10 years old, and this was a dream, every kid's dream that's playing Little League baseball. Heck, I don't know if you're watching the Little League World Series right now, but it's fun watching these kids play, how much fun they're having and how much they're invested in playing baseball. And so when it finally does finish, and you think, well, now what? You know, now what do I do? Because so much of these kids' lives is so focused on playing at the highest level they can play at, whether it's college, whether it's professional. And that's everything they put their time and energy into. Now, for me, along the way, and this is good credit to my parents, they gave me a lot of direction, a lot of perspective. They always pushed me to get my college degree and get my education. And so when I was done playing, I always knew I had something to fall back on. But a lot of these kids that are playing don't have anything to fall back on. They never finished college. Some of them never even went to college.
Right.
I'm dealing with a lot of young Latin kids who may not have ever finished high school. They got signed when they were 15 years old.
Wow.
May not have ever finished high school. So I'm dealing with a lot of these kids who really have nothing else to fall back on, and putting all their eggs into one basket and are really, really chasing a dream, and they're giving everything they have to chasing a dream. So back to the original question, I would think one of the most difficult things I had to go through was seeing a different side of me that wasn't a baseball player, because I identified so long with being a professional and being good at what I do and being a great hitter and being able to play five different positions and being able to be a good clubhouse presence and be a leader in a clubhouse. And so I think moving into a transition, credit to my wife and kids, they were with it. They were there right there with me. And I think what really made the difference for me is when I was out, and I left the game by choice, because when my father-in-law fell sick, I think it was the first time in my career where I'd ever been challenged with my priorities, where I'd ever said had my priorities tested in my life. And I had some offers to keep playing, but because of what my family was going through, I had to say no, and I had to be home with my kids, because we actually sold everything we had to move back to Michigan and bought a house that we've had a lot of problems with it there, but everything's good now. But basically I was with my kids for 3 months while my wife was helping my father-in-law in and out of the hospital with his medical stuff and his doctor visits and all of that. And so it was right in the middle of the summer. So it was a very powerful time for me, knowing that I needed to be a father more than I needed to be a baseball player. And so moving forward, that transition, I think that feeling gave me a new perspective, a new goal, a new, we all, you know, we in this field, we always have something we're striving towards, something we're striving to get better at. And for 15 years of playing professionally, I was trying to be the best baseball player I could be. Obviously, in doing that, you realize that you sacrifice other parts of your life. So now that I had a new perspective, I had something else I needed to be good at. It gave me a new perspective. And still, the transition was not easy because for 15 years, I identified with being that professional baseball player and what I brought to the table for an organization and what I brought to a team and how we could help a team win. And all of a sudden here, I know now my team changes and my team now becomes my family, where I was had a priority for family, but it was never apparent. It was never front row center. It was never in the spotlight. And I realized that I needed to be home and help raise my kids. I needed to be in my kids' lives, which for my last 10 years playing, I played out of 12 months. I was only having 2 months off every year. So that shows you that I'd never had a lot of time at home, and I didn't spend a lot of time around my parents, my brother, his kids. My wife and I, before kids, she could travel with me and go to the place I was at. Traveling wasn't really as easy as it was before.
Right.
So in that transition, I had to start prioritizing in life. What's important to me? What do I want to do? What do I want to transition to? And honestly, even though I have a degree, and honestly, even though I feel like I have a lot of other skills, it was hard to find where do I fit, because now I'm 34, 35, and most of the people my age are far enough along in their profession where I just can't jump into a lower level internship where I'm not money to support my family. And I feel like my skills were at a higher level than that, but yet nobody's going to hire me for a job higher than that because I have to go into an entry level position, because it's a very difficult transition for most of these kids who don't have the education, don't have the skills to transition into the professional world. And so for me, I think as in the transition with my kids, I was ready to do other things. The important thing to me was, and my wife always asked me this, she said, what do you want to do next? I said, honestly, I felt like for 15 years I was selfish, chasing my own ambitions. I think for my next profession, I just want to make a difference. I want to make a difference somewhere with somebody. Hmm. She's like, well, you can make a difference right here in our own community. I go, yeah, I can. And that gave me a perspective. And I actually went to an EMT class because I was planning on becoming a fireman. I'm like, how else can you help people really make a difference? And honestly, and I think I'm a person that believes things always happen for a reason. So my first thought was, okay, let's go to EMT class. Let's go take the class we need. Maybe I can become a fireman and I can give back to my community that way. So I started going, and about halfway through the first phone call from my winter ball team in Mexico, like, Jake, can you come play or coach or be whatever? And I'm like, sure, I'll come coach. So they paid me some money to go coach. So I went and coached. After the transition with my father-in-law, my family kind of needed the money, you know, so I went and coached, and I was there for the summer. So I come for the winter. I mean, it was a winter ball. So I come back, and I'm like, okay, let's start this class up again. I'm going to take this class. So I start this class up again. And then all of a sudden, the Phillies are like, hey, do you want to come coach? And so both times I tried to do this, I felt like I got pulled back into the baseball world, and I felt like doors were opening that I'm like, okay, well, let's try it, because I believe things happen for a reason.
Right.
So I went and coached the Phillies. And then another job, I got offered a volunteer assistant job with Chicago State, because I didn't know when I left the Phillies, I'm like, okay, well, I enjoy this. I want to do this. I think this would be good for me. Do I want to coach at professional level or college level? I had to try again. No, not yet. So then I went and coached at Chicago State, and I realized that the college level wasn't really for me. And so through the transition, then the Giants offered me a job. And now the first job they offered me was part-time with their short season A team in Salem, Kaiser. We were the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. And so I did it, and I loved it, and my team did well. And they're like, okay, well, here's a full-time job. Do you want to be a full-time coach? So this year is my first full-time coaching job with the Giants, and I'm having a blast. And I believe, you know, I think that just leads into, again, that I was going a different direction, and the game kind of pulled me back in. And that's one of the reasons why I tell people, I think the game kind of chose me.
Yes.
I never really chose it.
It looks like baseball is following you.
Right.
At this
point. And so when the door opens, I feel like I just, you know, walk through it and see where it leads. And people ask me, like, where do you see your career? Where do you want to go? And honestly, I don't know, because every day I feel like I'm learning new positions, new jobs around the game that, oh, that would be fun. Oh, that would be fun. I think that would be a cool job. And so I don't really know where it's going to lead me. I just know right now I have to be where my feet are, and I'm going to coach these young men the best way I can. I'm going to make them the best hitters and the best people I can. And I feel if I do that, if I concentrate on my immediate job of what I'm doing now, and I'd be the best mentor, hitting coach, guidance that I can be for these kids, then I believe the next door will open, whenever that may be, wherever that may be.
Awesome. Well, Jake, thank you so much for being our guest today. You gave us thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing where you're at right now. You talked about showing up and working hard, being where your feet are. You shared a story about needing to be with your family, and I think most of us can relate to that, and that tension, that pull, and that work-life balance. And at the end of the day, when we strip it back, we are husbands and fathers and the other things, and we just are. But so many of us get so tied to the things we love and our identity because we're so passionate about it. So, a lot of us can relate to that. Again, thank you for being our guest. I'm excited for following the next great things that you're doing, and I want to invite our listeners to look at the Fox Code, the fox-code.com.
Well, I appreciate it, Derek. I'm excited to awesome. Got in touch with you. I've really enjoyed the experience. I'm going to sign on. I'm going to be a listener now. I'm pretty excited. I got to spend this time together.
Awesome. Thanks, Jake. You take care.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.